Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth
drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. And I, of course, would love to hear from you. So, hey, give me a call. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. And if you want to, you know, have a casual conversation, whatnot, you can always go to the Smooth Drama site, smoothdrama.com, www.smoothdrama.com. Jump into the chat room. We can have an educated or uneducated conversation. We're going to set you straight either way, but we can have that conversation nonetheless. Smoothdrama.com. Go down, look at the chat room, jump in. You can be anonymous. You can be all you can be. Social network. If you're on Facebook, you can ask to get into the Smooth Drama group. Myself or Mr. Lavender will add you to the group. Myself or Mr. Lavender will add you to the group. And pretty much anywhere you see Smooth Drama, add us. We'll add you back. We can talk a taste or taste the talk. I don't know how you taste the talk, but it just sounded good coming off my tongue, so I'm just going with it. Anyway, as always, I got 99 followers, but a bitch ain't one. Where my dog's at? Anyway, not going to do that. But I am going to say the apocalypse, it's so scrumptious. It's more scrumptiouser by the minute, right? Why is it so scrumptious? Because, like always, we get all kinds of juicy details and things that just, as Arsenio Hall used to say, make you go, how is this happening? It is always something different, which is why this show is about psychological warfare 101. And what am I talking about, psychological warfare? What, you know, what's happening? See, I think with the psychological warfare, we're always looking at the bigger picture. We're looking at the big thing. We got to solve this. We got to solve that. But while we're steadily staring at macroaggression, we never look at the things that really hit us, which are the microaggressions. See, sociology people out there, macro is big, micro is small. So when we talk about psychological warfare 101, we're just talking about little stuff. It's little stuff that we don't pay attention to, that just eats at and erodes us collectively. It's like, you want to say, like, I don't know, you get a little cut and you don't treat it, and eventually it becomes an infection, and then boom, next thing you know, you're sick. And that leads to something bigger, because it's little stuff that gets you. It's never the big stuff. It's always the little stuff. So, for example, I'm reading the article. There's a New York City private school. They issued a guidance suggesting that phrases like mom and dad and boys and girls should be avoided in the push to make the campus more inclusive. because there is nothing that says we pushing you away when you say mom and dad and boys and girls. Think about that for a second. You don't, because you're saying, and here's what they say. While we recognize hateful language that promotes racism, misogyny, homophobia, and other forms of discrimination are already addressed in our school handbooks, we can also recognize that we can do more than ban hateful language. We can use language to create welcoming and inclusive spaces. And this guide addresses ways that we can remove harmful assumptions from the way we interact with each other. All right. Because phrases like boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, they should be replaced with words like people, folks, or friends. Because ladies and gentlemen is just so damn mean and hateful. Mom and dad, just mean and hateful. All you folks out there who say mom and dad, moms and pops, boys and girls, fucking up. You just mess it up for the culture. That's it. It's done. You done hurt so many people. It's like so many ones of people that are hurt when you say mom and dad, when you're talking to mom and dad. You hurt so many ones of people when you say boys and girls. When you're talking to boys and girls. Because who knows if they're there or not? Right? Psychological warfare. So why do I bring this up? Because they made it a big deal. They made it a 12-page inclusive language guide. All that. It's a PDF and everything. Right? But now, I may know a little bit about technology, whatnot, right? So, I would ask anybody who's ever used spell check. There are certain names that are grammatically incorrect. Just cause. So, for example, I don't know. If I had an African name, I mean, you have a name that is not like Bob, Jane, Jenny, Susan, Karen. All of those are spelled correct, right? Now, throw an alternative name in there, and you get that red line underneath, like, and of course, now you get the algorithm that suggests something else. So, for example, my last name, it doesn't exist. It's incorrect every time I type it in to a document online. So if I use a Google document and I type in my name, I am grammatically incorrect. Now, it's not a big deal, but it is a big deal. It's a microaggression, right? Because your kids, they type in their name, because there's a lot of kids use the Google Docs and other Google products, and just products online, period. And they'll put in their names. And guess what? Their names are grammatically incorrect. So it's suggesting that you are grammatically incorrect. Now, do we have anything or anyone advocating for that? No. Now, I could say it. I'm talking about it now. But We're talking about mom and dad and boys and girls can be hurtful. But your name being grammatically incorrect everywhere you type, that's not wrong. Okay. Like I said, psychological warfare 101. These are the microaggressions that your children grow up with. It's not a big deal, though. Making a mountain out of a molehill, right? It's like, why are you tripping? It's not even that much. So, and I'll say, you know what, you're right. I am tripping. So, then I go to Montana. Because I'm on record as saying Donald Trump is one of the greatest pimps of the 21st century. In my lifetime, I haven't seen a pimp job like his. I mean, we can go back to Hitler, how hard he's pimping. He's pimping his pimping his pimping. But I digress. Oh, anyway, think I have a caller. Caller, you're on the air. Tell us where you're calling from and what we can do for you.
Yeah, I'm calling from South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Hello.
You have a weird echo.
Okay, well, I think I'm just speaking in the mic. What can I do for you, South Carolina?
Yeah, I think it's weird that you would bring up Hitler when I think Hitler was like one of the greatest men who ever lived.
Okay.
I would like to ask you what you personally don't like about Hitler.
I didn't say I didn't like Hitler. I said one of the greatest pimp jobs since Hitler.
Okay, so tell me your interpretation of race relations in America.
What you mean?
I mean, what do you think is the solution to the race problem in America?
Solution to the race problem in America? One, race is a construct that's taken.
So what's
up
wrong with what's wrong? Okay, wait. Let's go point by point. So what's wrong with racism?
What's wrong with racism?
Yeah,
just inherently hating people who haven't done anything to you.
How is it hateful to want to preserve your own nation?
There's nothing hateful about that.
So would you say that a country that only likes white people is not racist? They're just trying to preserve their culture.
Yeah, I've never attacked like Iceland or Greenland or any.
Okay, so why do you attack America? America is a white country built by white Europeans. You know, slavery was a short period of our time. You know, the whole time of slavery, the annual GDP of slavery was like 2% of America's income. Not even nearly the income of America. The railroads were built by Chinese and Irish. That was only 5% GDP. So
okay.
I would like to know what do we have to give y'all monkeys to shut the fuck up?
All right. So now that we got that out the way, so as far as it's always funny, the people who benefit from the mistreatment of folks are always the ones who would call in and say, "Hey, what's wrong? We built this nation." Even though you did no work at all. See, microaggressions. Like, look, it's 2% of the GDP. Okay. Yeah. So all those years of free labor and negative treatment of folks. And stealing of the rightful people, Native Americans' land, yeah, those are minor issues. See? So, that, ladies and gentlemen, was an example of a macroaggression. Right? He's a full-on racist who felt like, well, you shouldn't even be talking about race. He was, why am I attacking Hitler? I wasn't even attacking Hitler. I was giving Hitler his props for pimping the German people into believing in the ideal that he didn't even fit. He wasn't even blonde hair, blue-eyed. Pimping. That's it. But you see, this is what we're talking about here. So the microaggressions lead to the macroaggressions and the ignorance of the people. I was about to get into that point until the gentleman decided to interrupt me and tell me about monkeys. When, you know, if you look at folks and you look at monkeys, I'm guessing he probably looks closer to a monkey than I ever would. But I digress. Anyway, I was about to talk about, ironically, some people in Montana who were fighting over flags. They had a flag dispute. There was a guy, Tim Mielke, who posed with his flag saying Trump lost. And his neighbor, who pled guilty to a misdemeanor and was fined $100 after he was cited for disorderly conduct for yelling at him over a flag because he had anti-Biden and anti-Democrat flags up. And so this guy put up a flag that said Trump lost, so he came over to see him, hollered at him. And at the end of the day, I don't understand why either one of y'all fussing and arguing. Because guess what? Neither one of you lost. Last time I checked, America is still, as you say, an imperialist country, a colonial empire. Ain't a damn thing changed, except for the old guy who's the figurehead in charge. I'm like, we're still tripping over flags. And see, that's where the pimping comes in. Y'all arguing over which old white man we should follow. It's kind of funny. Kind of funny. But you know what? South Carolina, I would say God bless you. But I'm guessing your evil God probably already does. On that note, I'm going to break. This is Play Creation. Still tipping. 2020.
Yeah. Yeah. These niggas, they testing me. They calls keep testing me. All I do is walk by the door. That bitch open like sesame. My haters now seeing less of me. Rather deal with my real ones. Gotta move in a smart way, cause these fake niggas got real guns. I don't fuck with your energy. You seem like an enemy. Oh, you don't like anime? Then sorry fam, you ain't friends with me. Dominican at home, I don't need an interpreter. I'm in love with her curvature. She treat my face like her furniture. Can't talk cause the phone's tab, that's a hotline. My niggas use the burner phones, it's the talk biz, that's a hotline. Say 100 like Arizona in the summer, nigga, that's a hotline. Know y'all niggas feeling this like Braille, nigga, that's a dot line. Get it? I know my niggas is with it. Oh, that's your wig, I'ma split it. See in the dark like I'm ready. That's my dog in there, man, that's my dog in there. If you fucking with the fan, then I might put some paws on them. Niggas bite me like they jaws in them. I rap like Nas in them. Feel the tremors in the city. I'm the one that's causing them. I feel like I'm growing in status. Feel like I'm reaching the stratus. My head got me feeling like Raditz. You look like you're getting the maddest. Got a bad bitch, that's an untrained puppy. Got a mad diss like with Drake.
on that, sit it back, cause they got a little cash on deck. Got a girl with a pussy on her face and an ass on neck. Hit it from the back, I bet. Hit it on a Sunday, should've went to church. I'd see one day, put it in a hearse. Living my life like the greatest, even though they underrated. I understand why they hate it.
Clay Creation, Steel Tipping, 2020. 347-826-7435. Call-in number. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Call me. I ain't scared. Right. Yeah. Right. So, psychological warfare. We ain't got to do all this hollering and screaming. We just going to kick the facts. Or as they used to say back in the day, we going to pass the peas. We going to kick the willy bobo. We going to do all that. We going to take them to church. Speaking of which, I saw everybody was tripping over the Kirk Franklin. And how he cussed his son out. And they're like, oh, Kirk Franklin. And I'm like, well, his son, one, illegally taped it. Because technically you're not supposed to tape someone without their consent first, as far as adults go. Second, I'm sorry, but it's a bitch move. Private conversation. And the folks who make it a big deal, a father and a son in the philosophical dispute. That was it. I didn't see the story. I didn't even listen to what he said. Yeah, he cussed him out. How many parents have ever cussed out their kid before? One of their kids. Shit, all of your kids. Just had to say something. It was just on your mind. I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. And that was a nice version. Hell, I mean, you know, and I can say, I have a great relationship with my son. And it took the apocalypse for me to cuss him out. See, because that's what makes the apocalypse more scrumptious. It brings out stuff that didn't even belong, even though he did earn it, and he was kind of shocked that it happened, but it happened. He didn't record it, and even if he had recorded it and put it out there, one, it would have made him look bad because I was talking about him, and two, nobody would have cared. So I'm like, oh, Kirk Franklin cussed out his son. That was tripping. All right, next story. Because I thought that there was something else that happened. That he was revealing something or there was something important that happened. But nope. It was just good old fashioned just talking. All right. So, Brown Sugar, how you doing? No? You're not there? I thought Brown Sugar was there. But not.
I'm here.
Hi.
I didn't unmute myself. So, okay.
Right.
I mean, it's over and done with now, that caller that, you know, I thought we were going to have, like, a intelligent discussion. See that he was basing his feelings, because he was really in his feelings, and it was all unintelligent. So
yeah, he was really
And if, you know, and I just have to say, if I'm a monkey, his mama's one too. So, you know, hope he's still listening.
Yeah, I'm not gonna go into the monkey talk.
I know you're not. You're above it. I'm not. I'm petty.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
You know, I mean, no, I'm not above it. It's like, look.
You are, because you handled yourself very well. I mean, because you could have really, you know, argue with him. You did the right thing by hanging up and. Where you want to meet up at, because we can discuss it in person.
Yeah, no, see, you know, that's the dude that shows up with 35 people to fight against you.
If that's how we get down, I can, you know, that's not a problem either.
Right, but we not going to do that. Because I'm talking about
warfare. And I agree. We shouldn't. But I just feel like it just goes to show you, like, you weren't even talking about race so much and where he just went. And
he just
proved the point of what you were saying. Like, I don't know. Like, you just proved the point that you are the racist. You're the one that we're talking about. You are the evil white bastard that we talk about all the time.
Well, I was just saying that they was hoes because they got pimped and still are pimped. I mean, he's dead and he's still pimping them. So that was it.
I agree.
Yeah. So I don't like to spend a lot of time on hoes because I know you don't.
And that's why I'm like, when you went on and, you know, went to another topic, then I was like, okay, well, but since you, you know, opened the door for me, I'm going to say what I have to say.
Well, I mean, like I said, I mean, hoes don't get that much attention here. So like Willie D said a long time ago, don't try to change her. You let a hoe be a hoe. So.
Well, like I said, if I'm a monkey, his mama's one too. So
okay.
We can just leave it at that.
Okay. All right. So
okay.
I was talking about psychological warfare 101. And so microaggressions, macroaggressions, and what we do and how we view things is skewed by who we're taught to be the hero, and who actually is the hero, villain, whatnot. So, for example, the world is breathing again for a minute after WandaVision, right? We all watch WandaVision, and we had endless amount of speculation. Man, speculated everything under the sun. Okay, it's Mephisto. Nah, it's Kathan. Nah, it's Nightmare. We was all over the place. Who's the real villain behind WandaVision? Because somebody got to be controlling her. Somebody got to be messing her over and make her go crazy, taking advantage of this poor woman's grief. And so for some of you who haven't watched it, WandaVision is a show on Disney Plus about Wanda Maximoff, who is the Scarlet Witch in the comic books, the New Avengers. And if you saw the Avengers movie, she was the one for Romania with the brother Quicksilver, who got killed in Age of Ultron. And the Vision, who is her husband that she had twin boys with, but he doesn't have man parts. So you know it's crazy right off the top. So anyway, he dies in the movie. Her brother dies before him. So she's kind of shook. And so she's got matter recreation powers. So she's got what you call chaos, the chaos force. And she's a nexus being, as they call it. And so She recreates the vision, and she creates this magical world that she takes over. It's in Plainview, Westview, New Jersey. She takes it over, and everybody's lives are taken over there also. And so we're waiting 8 episodes. Who's the real villain? And guess what, Brown Sugar? You know who the real villain was? Good old-fashioned Wanda. Over the town, didn't let the people see their kids. Made them live out her fairy tale while they couldn't conduct their lives. And the whole time, we're rooting for her. We're feeling sorry for her. We're giving her some kind of props. And so afterwards, we find out Agatha Harkness, who is the character in there. She's like, it was Agatha all the while manipulating her. Then you find out, no, she was just trying to find out what the hell was Wanda doing and why was she doing it. So the whole time, there's another guy, an auxiliary player, Hayward. He's a dick the whole show. He's the bad guy, most people look at. Oh, he did something wrong. But he didn't do nothing wrong. This is a woman who got grown folks begging to see their kids and their family. They can't see them because she got them living out her fairy tale. And at the end, she just flies away. And we're in anticipation of the movie. We don't consider the considerable damage that she did to folks for however long she was in control of that town. Now, why am I talking about this imaginary stuff, right? It's imaginary. Because microaggression, right? We're rooting for the villain. We're all, but she's the villain the whole time. And afterwards, you feel in some kind of way because you felt good for the villain. Why is that psychological warfare 101? I mean, we could talk about American history. We could talk about world history. There are individuals who are not good people. But we're taught that founding fathers, they're great people. But they own slaves. It's not that big a deal. 2% of the GDP, as our angry misinformed individual from South Carolina called in and said, it's not that big a deal, except for it was to all the people who was negatively affected by it. See, because we never, ever think about the victims. Victims be damned. We have that hero worship. It's one of our societal fatal flaws that is built in to this colonial culture. So, you know, as a colonized society, we have a construct where we'll put people who ain't shit in heroic lights. So, for example, I watched the United States versus Billie Holiday and Judas and the Black Messiah, right? They're two pretty cool movies. They were okay. Now, United States versus Billie Holiday was interesting, as Billie Holiday, one of my favorite singers, I can actually say I have a couple of her albums, greatest hits, whatnot, and I know a lot of her songs. I'm one of them weird people who actually, like, hero worships people who actually said stuff that really mattered. Anyway, she made a song, you may have heard of it, called Strange Fruit, which is talking about black folks being lynched. The strange fruit hanging from the poplar tree. So, in our lifetime, we know N.W.A. made the song Fuck the Police. Right? Since then, we've had quite a few police songs, right? But we know that if N.W.A. sung Fuck the police would arrest them. You know, freedom of speech, just watch what you say. Shout out to Ice-T. Anyway, we have the same thing for Cop Killer. Sing that song, we're going to pull you off the stage and arrest you. So, apparently, that was nothing new. Because Billie Holiday had that same experience way back in the 50s. Sing Strange Fruit. They were upset with her singing the truth. See, we hate people telling the truth. It's just the truth is too much. Why you want to talk about that? That's old stuff. It wasn't even that important. I mean, why you talk? It's only what we say. Of the people lynched, maybe it was like 1 or 2% of the population. If I'm gonna go off South Carolina's infinite logic, 1 or 2% of the population, it's not that big a deal. Hell, you kill yourselves. Why are you worrying about lynching? Right? So now we would say, hey, it's a real song. It was an important song. So the FBI, yes, the FBI had agents following Billie Holiday looking to arrest her, set her up so that she could be arrested. And the hero of the story, the guy that was with her to the end, is this sellout Negro who worked in the office full of sellout Negroes. And he sets her up, and then he follows her around the country as she's on tour. They have a relationship, all that. It's just a whole messed up story. But it's like, one, he's the guy that was with her to the end. Even though he's part of setting her up all the way to the end. So you know, Billie Holiday dies handcuffed to her bed. That's how they treated her. Because she wanted to tell the truth. Why you just can't talk about something else? Why you want to talk about black folks being hung, agitating people? And they even had the handler, the boss of the sellout Negro, who was part of that sellout Negro division. The handler was a guy who, you know, white guy. And he had, and this is funny, he had a conversation with Hoover, and Hoover talked about, hey, your daughter's going to bring home a black man. We don't stop this now. Even though J. Edgar Hoover was a black man, we ain't gonna go through all that. That's a bit much for tonight. But point is, they try to show that he was having some kind of moral conundrum with Hoover's proclamations about we need to take Billie Holiday down and people like her down. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. Because what you do is, even though this is beyond the shadow of a doubt, an evil person. I mean, I think I'm being nice by saying this is beyond the shadow of a doubt, an evil person. They're still trying to give him some kind of, oh, well, look, he's not that bad. Right? His heart flickered a little bit when he saw that, when he heard Hoover say something racist. No. No. Jesus and the Black Messiah. Judas and the Black Messiah. I'm sorry. Same thing. We go and we follow around this guy who sets up Fred Hampton and the Black Panthers. What did Fred Hampton do? Oh, man, I'm just trying to make the community safe. Why you want to do that? And so this guy, who they try to show, well, look, he got caught up. He was a car thief. And so they use this particular car thief, and they have him infiltrate the Black Panthers and sets up Fred Hampton. And ultimately, Fred Hampton is shot and killed in his bed, 6 in the morning. Police raid, FBI raid, whichever one, all the same. And so, this dude, he's had his conflicted feelings about it, whatnot. But no. And they show that there are other dudes who were sellouts also, who had different handlers. And you know, we're supposed to feel sorry for them, because hey, they got caught up and the police forced them to do it. No, just go to jail. I'm going to go to jail. I'm not going to take the money. I'm not going to sell out somebody who's fighting hard to help make my life better. See, that's psychological warfare right there. Because we're supposed to feel, I guess, some kind of tug or remorse when that individual passes on. Nope. So I saw that he killed himself, the guy who was an undercover operative, that he killed himself after he did some interviews for a documentary that went into the making of Judas and the Black Messiah. And I just shrugged my shoulders. Okay. All right, that's cool. That was it. There is no more to the story. I'm going to go on break now. This is Ross Cos. So long, nights.
The waterproof and sleep. You ain't wetting me. You need to stop rapping it. Start robbing banks like Steady D. Cause see, no matter how much green you make, you never taste avocado. Just another book for Sachi Mama. Tiger Woods ain't even up to par in the game of survival. That's why I'm pissing in your crystal box. Shit lift the wings. Brush my teeth with amphetamine. So I can sell breath and say dope things. In between, you strike the five mile ever snore. I want a woman with the body of a whore and a personality like Lauren. Don't even say I didn't know. Cause while we want to be in WA, they create the NWO. How many years, homo? So fuck these fake John Gotti's. They got no Maseratis. I be at the party sipping on toddies. My shit pumping everything. I'm stuck this rugged to the bone, and I'm gonna diss everybody. You want to diss everybody? Can't handle the truth. You want black this move? Can't initiate the truth. Scared to death. Playing the game of life. Solo or night. You want the truth? Can't handle the truth. You want black this move? Can't initiate the truth. Scared to death. Playing the game of life. Solo or night. I keep the after party swerve. Not quite like Michael Irvin, edumacating urban youth, like it or not. These soliloquies explain our people's lack of stability. You keeping it real, but ain't got a clue what reality really be. See the diameter of your knowledge, it's the circumference of your activity. I knew this deal before Babyface went solo. Bagging job pieces, stacking dividends, addressing in more linen than your co-owner. But on the low though, we fighting over the scraps, worse than the almighty dollar. And God we trust, look it over. Now what the fuck pyramids got to do with the pilgrim or Jehovah? Know the sort of the moon means new war order. It's why I keep my friends close to my enemies close. Cause you running around in $1,000 clown suits. Better get some boots when Lucifer turn your city to Beirut. Nigga, you want the truth? Can't handle the truth. You want Lexus Moonwood? Win the D.A.D. Truth. Scared to death. Playing the game of life. Solo or night. You want the truth? Can't handle the truth. You want Lexus Moonwood? Win the D.A.D. Truth. Scared to death, playing the game of life. Solo or night, I avoid one time. Got Lila Roshan calling my genital sunshine. Fifth floor of the Mondrian, suck your head, nigga. Hop your dime. I'm the man who was stopped to transform to a fucking Galamegatron. Hit the sport I'm known about, cop. Give it a name and you a hate. But violence don't play that game, man. You will opinion shit, the preaching teacher. He speak AMC when I get pissed like they reach. My day to day, I'm trying to bubble. First place, just take by chase. And teach you like cake, but in the millennium, green turns electronic. UPC barcodes on the hand is demonic. They got concentration camps from Alaska to Jersey. But when the president declared a national emergency, he's paying guard notes, trying to rock the boat. I'm spitting razor sharp quotes, trying to slit the folks' throat. You want the truth? Can't handle the truth. You want Lexus Moonwood? Can't initiate the truth. Scared to death. Playing the game of life. Solo or night. You want the truth? Can't handle the truth. You want Lexus Moonwood? Can't initiate the truth. Scared to death. Playing the game of life. Solo or night. I'm rhyming. Beat provided by God.
Together you got Smooth Drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drummer with your host, Mr. F the N Word. That was Ross Cox. Solo Nice. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. All right, so As I was saying, I can't say that I have any remorse for the bad guy, bad person, bad people. If they decide to do something to harm themselves, I can't say I'm sad. And I'm not going to apologize because I don't feel bad about bad people coming to a bad end, especially of their own design. But I didn't think it was important. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Technology. See, we're talking about psychological warfare 101. So we talk about technology, and I might know a little bit about technology, right? I've said this, I know a little bit. So when we talk about technology, we're talking about things that are programmed. See, the thing about things that are programmed is that the actual person programming it is the actual person programming it. It's a weird thing for some folks. So when I talk about technology, so I've been talking about psychological warfare 101, right? And we're talking about microaggression. See, we ain't talking about macroaggression. We ain't talking about folks outside your house with the burning cross, none of that. I'm talking about microaggression. So, for example, we start talking about technology. I'm going to talk to my people with a darker shade of skin here. You ever been in the airport or in some places and you put your hand underneath the water and the soap dispenser and nothing happens? Absolutely, positively nothing happens. You're like, what the? And you see everybody else getting soap and water, and you feel like, doo-doo-doo, like, oh my goodness, I can't get this soap to work. I'm like, hey, what's wrong? But then I turn my hand over to my palm, and guess what? I get soap and water. Now, did I do it right, or was something programmed a certain way where it didn't recognize a darker shade of skin? Now, some people may not have noticed that, but this technology actually exists, right? And when they program these things, it's designed to recognize a certain thing. So, for example, if you're a programmer and you're creating a program with a certain algorithm, which is the actual, you know, program and sequence, you put in what it should do and what it should not do. So, for example, if I put my light-skinned hand underneath this sensor picks up this particular shade, and guess what? It turns on. If you do not account for all shades, the computer is dumb. It won't pick it up, which is what happens. Microaggression. You feel a little slow, doo-doo-doo, but you're not. Technology programmed by somebody who didn't have you in mind. For example, facial recognition. Watch the TED talk, and it's something we know. Facial recognition is not trustworthy. It doesn't even recognize you unless you put on a mask that makes your skin lighter. Now, one could say, technological issue. It's a flaw. It's a glitch in the system. But glitches are programmed. Now you can mess up on a semicolon here or there. But at the end of the day, that's programmed, son. That's not fate. And once again, microaggression. Flesh-colored Band-Aids. Yeah. I have Band-Aids. They say Some of them say flesh-colored Band-Aids. Some of them just say Band-Aids. If we grab a flesh-colored Band-Aid, I'm going to guess, my skin might be a little darker than some others. But I'm going to guarantee you that flesh-colored Band-Aid is not going to match the color on my hand. At least not on the outer part. Won't even match on the inner part, but I digress. Microaggression. Psychological warfare 101. Because see, psychological warfare, it's the minor. It's the little cuts. Little cuts. You're diabetic, that little cut will fester, make you get your foot cut off. Little stuff to an already flawed system. So, with that, we're going to Groundhog Day.
That shit happened again? Oh,
hell no. Okay. So, what's the shit that happened again? So, while we're talking about stuff that happens everywhere, that's minor, right? We're talking about somebody getting in a so-called royal family upset. It's black kids in Mozambique being beheaded by Islamic nationalists. It's not a big deal because I haven't seen it on the news. I've watched the news all week. It's not being reported. I mean, I was looking for it. Somebody's going to talk about little kids getting killed. Somebody. There's a whole UK-based aid group Save the Children. They've killed thousands and forced many from their homes. Now, that sounds like genocide. But, you know, we don't talk about genocide outside of the United States. And even in the United States, we don't talk about genocide. We can ask our Native American homies about that. A lot of them who actually migrated from South Carolina, coincidentally. You know, white nation. Anyway, we're not talking about Mozambique. Nothing. Not even a mention. You got to go deep to find it. Beheading children as young as 11. We talking about it? Nope. And you would think we would talk about it because, what? It's Islamic forces. And Islamic insurgency, as they call it. You would think that you would just take time, but you know what? Then we had to talk about black folks. We had to talk about some people on the continent and how everyone's lives should matter.
60.
I mean, everyone's lives should matter. But kind of don't want to do that because it's just so un-American. I mean, one could say it's almost South Carolinian. And on that note, I'm Mr. F the N-Word. This is another Smooth Drama production. If you want to chat with me in the chat room, smoothdrama.com, come see me. Other than that, I'll catch you on the flip side. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.